to A Jungian and a Witch podcast. I'm your co-host, Molly, the queen behind Queen of Cups Apothecary and your resident witch. This is my dad, Steve, a Jungian analyst with over 30 years experience, a master's in divinity, and a myth expert. Join us as I get the Jungian perspective on a wide range of witchy topics. Hello, and thanks for tuning in to another episode. Today, we're going to talk about the self and the ego. What is the difference between the two? What is the ego? What is the self? What makes a strong ego? What makes a weak ego? How do we strengthen our ego? And what is all of this in the Jungian perspective? I hope you enjoy. Dad, here we are, another week. So today I want to talk about the self, aka the ego. I know this is another big topic, but I feel like it's a word that we've thrown around a lot, and I think it could use some defining. Again, I was on TikTok and Instagram, and I heard someone talking about the ego in a way that made me cringe. I was like, That's not right.
What did they say that was cringeworthy?
Well, they were talking about, it was very similar. They were talking about shadow work and ego. So it's kind of similar to the shadow work one. And they were, I'm trying to remember the specifics of it. But the way that they were talking about healing the ego, and they were talking about, you know, not letting their ego get the best of them and things like that. And to me, it just seemed like they didn't really understand what the ego was, because I know that we can do things to strengthen our ego, but I think as far as the way she was talking about it, it made me kind of cringe.
Yeah,
I can see your face. Listeners can't.
Lots of definitional problems here. Yes.
Yeah. So let's dive in. What is the self versus the ego? Because I feel like those are two different terms that get used like synonymously when I don't think they are.
The way Jung uses the terms, they are absolutely not the same. The self is very different than the ego.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is, for the other 99% of psychologists, they do mean the same. When other psychologists say the self, they mean the ego.
Okay.
But not Jung. So let's start with the ego, because the Jungian self is a much larger issue. So
okay.
The ego's a bit easier, although the ego's a little tricky too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to do an episode on ego for my History of Ideas channel, and it's been setting for a year because it's so complicated for me to figure out.
Well, even maybe this will be a good jumping off point.
That's
for you.
Right. So complicated, even though the ego is supposed to be just about the simplest thing.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So what Jung and most other psychologists mean by the ego, which is actually Freud's concept. He came up with the term.
I was going to ask that. Yeah.
Ego, by the way, see, it already gets complicated, right? Mm-hmm. Ego is a Latin term. It's Latin for I. When Freud was writing in German, he said das Ich.
Oh.
The I,
yeah.
Das Ich, is he didn't, it was only the English translators that didn't like that. And to just say the I in English, just no, we'll make it fancy by using Latin. So we'll call it the ego. Seriously, that's what happened. Okay.
Oh no.
All right.
So does it date back that far? Do we have like ancient philosophers? Because I feel like that dates back, the id and the ego, wasn't that?
Well, id and ego is actually from 1920.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So Freud did
I
not.
thought there was like a Socrates or something talked about that.
You must have been watching Bill and Ted's Excellent
Well, yeah, that's
Adventure,
yeah.
because you, I think you mean Socrates.
I do. I do. I was making a joke. Yes.
Okie dokie. But an excellent movie. And of
Right.
course, Dr. Froude appears
Yes, he
in
does.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Okay. The ego is the I. So Jung makes it a bit more explicit and said the subjective seat of consciousness, that inner part of us that, and then this would be a much more modern thing, experiences the qualia of consciousness, which me
Qualia.
qualia is a scientific term for discrete bits of data. So a qualia of consciousness is I feel hot, or I feel sad, or I feel joy. Those are
Interesting.
subjective qualia in a specific thing. That's the
That makes
qualia,
sense.
and
Yeah.
subjective because only you feel it.
Right.
And only you know you're having that qualia of consciousness that you're feeling sad.
Okay.
A person from the outside cannot tell.
Yeah.
So, in this whole problem of consciousness, one philosopher, David Chalmers, has the robot thought experiment.
Oh,
In other
okay.
words, you could have a robot, an advanced robot, like in the book, I, Robot,
Oh,
Isaac
right. Yep.
Asimov, really good
Yeah.
book.
And people out there read the book, not just the movie. The book's way better.
Oh, don't even bother with the movie. The movie's terrible and has nothing to do with the book.
I
Okay,
know it
all
misses
right.
all the big concepts, but.
Yes. So in the thought experiment, a robot could say, I feel sad,
Okay.
without having any inner experience.
Right. I was going to say, but how, what's their context for
And
that?
that in the thought experiment, it's like there is no way to know. In the same way, there's no way to know that the robot's having an inner experience. We assume it isn't because it's a neural
Right.
network that was first I introduced in the book, I, Robot. There's also no way to know if you are actually having an inner experience and, in fact, might be a robot. There's no way to know that that's how, there is no scientific proof that you have an
Yeah.
ego.
Neo. Interesting.
So, but that idea of the subjective center of consciousness. So, for instance, in dreams, the typical Jungian way of thinking about when you dream about a car, I was driving my car. The form, the image of a car is actually a whole lot like an ego.
Oh,
In the
okay. How so?
sense that when you sit in the driver's seat of your car, you are the boss. You are having
Oh,
an
okay.
experience and you are making choices, decisions. I'm going to go left, I'm going to go right, I'm going to stop. And the person, again, the robot issue would be a person looking at an autonomous car, a self-driving car.
Right.
Does that car have a driver or does that car not have a driver? And that would be the ego, right? Is
Interesting.
that, and in the same way in a car, when you're sitting in the driver's seat, you're not exactly in the world. It is
You're
not
interacting.
you're interacting, but it's pure raw experience. Like the rain is not splashing on you.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
And so the ego also is subjective, not objective. It is in this contained little bubble, this I who is experiencing things. things.
Like our body is like the car then that's separating us from the
How
outside?
About the entire cognitive machinery?
Oh, wow.
That you can only be an ego because the brain works in a certain way. And the brain experiences sight in a certain way, and hearing in a certain way, and speech in a certain way.
Yeah, and it's not the same for everyone.
And it's not the same for everyone, as in neurodiversity and things like that.
People could be blind and deaf, and
right?
They could be missing whole parts of our experience.
They have an ego. So that's interesting, right? Does a child have an ego, for instance?
Yeah, that's a big question.
Is there an I there?
And speaking for my four-year-old, she definitely has a pretty big eye, I would say.
Well, what about that she will not remember this at all?
Yeah, I do think about that sometimes.
See, and that is apparently one of the qualia of an ego is memories, as in, now the subjective part, personal memories.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so this helps get separated out a little bit. So yes, your child has a personality.
Oh yeah.
A definitive personality with unique qualities, like everybody. But that's not the ego yet. That's the personality. And there's also no subjectivity theoretically in the child, that the child does not understand, I am me and I am separate from the world. The child exists in sort of a merger with, you know, the mother, the father, and the world, not really thinking of having a separate existence. Or back when we talked about archetypes, not really thinking of the mother as having a separate existence.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right. So in a way, that's called childhood narcissism, which we all have, because what else is the child supposed to experience except that the world is all about me?
Right. Yeah. It's very much all about her right now.
Right. That is a lack of an ego, because there are not memories being formed. Again, memories are being formed, but they're not accessible to a subjective center of consciousness.
But she can remember like yesterday.
Yeah, that would
But she can't remember, you know, when she's older, she's not going to remember right now. But today
because,
she can remember
yesterday. Because it's not consolidated into what we call an ego identity.
Okay.
So what is ego also is a sense of identity, but again, that subjective sense of I am.
Yeah.
And that's why if everybody thinks back to your earliest memory possible, the earliest memory that you have is a flash, let's say, of the ego coming online or awake.
Right.
And like, for instance, my first memory, I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
But it was because it was a special event that had to do with the birth of my brother. And I remember that.
Okay.
But this I developing, it's only islands of consciousness. It's not a continuous memory.
I see that, yeah.
Right? It's like I remember this, and then I remember that, and then I remember this. Isolated, not so islands, not yet the continent of continuous.
I see that
memory.
We're gonna have to watch a movie called Inside Out. I don't think you've watched it yet.
It's
a Disney movie. It's really good. You're gonna like it. But it's from the perspective of a little girl. She's like 11 or 12, and it's inside her head. And there's a different character for joy and a different character for sadness, a different character for anger. And she has these islands, which is what made me think of it. She has like the island of happiness and the island of like hockey sort of thing. She has the island of hockey. She has all these different islands. And I think it's really interesting that you were just talking about islands, because it's like really played out in that movie. We'll have to watch it.
That's good. Because think of it, without an I a child, for instance, when a child is angry, there is no separation. There's no I there. So it's yeah. not, there is no, again, subjective awareness. I am angry.
Right.
There is only the experience of I am anger.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ego there.
Right. Too.
I yeah, am sadness. I yeah. am happiness. Like the, there's no separation. And that's why the child then has a full range of emotional experience, not cut off, not blocked, not anything, yeah. just which is, as you know, as a mother, kind of wonderful and kind of not helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
At the same
time. It's
hard
to switch them from one to the other. I also think it's interesting in other language, they don't say I am, they say I have instead. So mm-hmm. it's like, I have anger and I have sadness rather than I am. And I think we talk about that a lot with my somatic healing group about how instead of making it so possessive and personal, like I am, I have, and it's like a different way of relating.
That's good. But there's still yeah. an I. See, that's
oh, it's ego. Still an I. Yeah, I. definitely.
So eventually there's an aspect of the ego that's called the observing ego.
And okay.
This is now all within the concept of ego development.
Okay.
So we've been talking about a child, and yes, it develops mm-hmm. over time. It doesn't just start right out of the box.
The observer.
The observer. So to be able to say, I have anger, already there's a standing aside from the emotional.
Right.
We don't want to say standing above exactly, but it is, there is a point of reflection. Oh, I see that I am having anger.
Mm-hmm. Being able to observe it is a big step.
It is a huge step. And even adults, some adults don't ever get there. They they don't have an observing ego for a little bit of self-reflection to stand back and look at yourself.
Yeah.
Think about that.
It's a really important aspect.
And again, that's the ego is able to do that. A functioning ego.
So the ego has a bunch of different pieces.
It does, like a car. Like a car.
Like a car. Yeah, I see.
And so
engine, the brakes.
Yes, all the systems. In fact, that's what in one of my videos, I mean, the way to think about the brain in the long run is that the brain is a system of systems. That's the term. System of systems. Because
system of systems.
The brain is at least 12 different organs all functioning independently.
Oof.
And that's why the miracle is not that sometimes something goes wrong with the brain. The miracle of the brain is that is that it works at all.
Right.
Right. So those are different aspects of the ego. And then you would say, like a car has headlights. So the ego also only has a certain attention span, like the headlights.
Like, right.
You can't see 360. You really can't. Mm-hmm. You can see in one direction.
Yeah, what's in front of you?
As bright as the lights are, as wide as they are. So that's called the intensity of ego consciousness and the expansiveness of ego consciousness, right? You could have intensity that is very narrowly focused. You could have more expansiveness that is able to see a much wider picture, again, holding it in consciousness, but you can't see what's on, everything on the side is in the dark, and everything behind you is in the dark.
It's definitely in the dark, yeah. But
like a car, you can turn and direct your attention to another thing, but now your attention is not on the thing that the headlights were just shining on, and now that's in the dark.
Wow.
That is what is coming into your subjective awareness. And so the ego is that identity that develops as a way of consolidating all of these raw experiences. Consolidating. Like, then it's I am And then what am I? See?
Exactly.
So identity is like social identity. You know, okay, I am goth. I am goth. And that's me. See, that's an ego identity.
Right. I'm a jock or whatever those high school things are.
The high
I'm a
school things
bookworm. I'm a
and right
cheerleader. I'm a
there's the social aspect, social identity, but when you internalize it,
Right.
then it's an ego. It's not, it's no longer social. It's like I,
I
again,
am this.
but if you're a robot, see, I can't tell what your subjective sense of your own identity is. Like, robot, do you say I am a robot? Think of it.
Right.
Like, where is there that self-reflective awareness to claim an identity? I think we say no, the robot doesn't know it's a robot.
At
Except
least
in
not yet, anyway.
Isaac Asimov's books, that then as robots get that advanced, they do know, in fact, that they are
Well,
robots.
and yeah, and now there's a long slew of movies and books all about robots and AI going haywire, but
It is because AI comes into it. Can AI ever have a subjective experience of qualia? That would be the robot becoming conscious.
Did you ever watch Ex Machina?
Yes.
Yeah, with the he builds the robots and then they kill
Very good.
him.
Ex Machina, by the way,
Ex Machina, not Machina. Sorry, I always want to say machine.
is the, and
Machina,
I
yeah.
don't mean to be pedantic, but it feels like people have a chance to learn something, and they should learn the what these terms are. So that's good.
It
I don't know, is this helping you get a sense of
is.
an
It
ego?
is.
And then so you think about the, well, you mentioned teenagers, right? I mean, it's that the time for ego consolidation, which identity formation, right,
Yeah,
is
teenagers.
theoretically age 17 something,
Wow.
maybe some people 18, maybe some people 16. But like, when does your identity and your, again, internal identity
Right.
consolidate that you say, okay, I know who I am now? And
But
that's
we change so much
it,
over
we do
time.
change, as a matter of fact. So
So it doesn't stay a constant. It changes.
I would say there is an aspect that stays constant. And that's called ego consistency. In other words, I'm able to have the awareness without gaps or breaks that I am the same person I was when I was 4 years old. That person when it was four is me. That person at 14, that was me. That person at 24, that was me. You know, it, some people have disruptions of ego consistency. It's not a continuous con
Really? And
that
is that just like amnesia, or can people just have a break where they're like, well, that wasn't me, and I'm out.
So now, I mean, we've been talking about how an ego functions, and now we can talk about how an ego dysfunctions,
Malfunctions.
malfunctions.
Sure.
So you said that the podcast was talking about, you know, fixing your ego or repairing your
Healing your ego. Yeah.
healing your ego. And the answer is that's true. Many people have various disruptions of the ego. So let us say that the most extreme example would be multiple personality disorder, or as we call it now, dissociative identity disorder. In DSM-5, now it's called dissociative identity disorder. Dissociation leads to a splitting off of things. And then it can be so extreme that in fact there are different actual functioning personalities within the same person who may or may not know of the existence of the other personalities.
Yeah, that's what I find interesting too. Yeah.
Or maybe totally blacked out. So, like a typical experience is, what are all these charges doing on my credit card? Like somebody went and charged on my card. I have to call the bank now, and
And it turns out it was them.
that was you. Except it
Yeah.
wasn't. Except it wasn't you.
Right.
It
Right.
wasn't you, ego, who did it.
It was different. So you can have
Although
multiple egos.
these other personalities, if they function and like get in the car, go to work, then they are like a second ego. Yeah. So again, it's
The idea
psychotherapy.
that they cannot be aware of each other, I think is the craziest part to me.
And also sometimes a person talks about a master altar. That's what they're called. I have five altars. Those are
Okay. There's one that's in charge of everybody else.
secretly, generally. There's one, there can be one who knows of all five
Okay.
and feels a bit in control of who to let out when and in what situation and so forth. And generally hates some of the others. Like, for instance, it's not uncommon for the one in charge to despise the ego.
Oh,
Like
really?
the ego, you're so weak. You're such a people pleaser. See?
Yeah, you can see that.
I
I'm
hate
thinking
you.
about Fight Club right now, which I don't remember if you've seen Fight Club, but
Not in a
that
long
is,
time.
yeah, if you remember, the main character is both of the main characters, like Brad Pitt and the other guy are the same person.
Multiple personality disorder, see? And that shows a disruption of the ego. And there are many others.
What
Perhaps,
and what
perhaps.
causes a disruption of the ego? Like, is it a physical event or like do you get hit on the head or something? Or can it just happen from stress? Or how do they have a
Well,
break like that?
in general, having a break like that is a result of trauma.
Trauma. Okay. That's what
And
I
in
thought.
the case of multiple personality disorder, severe trauma. So there's a way in which, I mean, we all dissociate. I mean, we could talk about dissociation for a long time, but
We'll make a whole other podcast
we
episode
all
about that.
we all dissociate mildly. I mean, it's a mild
Oh, well,
dissociation.
yeah.
So think about it, like, you're driving to work and you're listening to a podcast while you drive, and when you get to work, you don't remember the drive.
I mean, back when I used to work in an office, I remember that happening pretty frequently.
You don't
On
remember,
autopilot.
right? Either A, your ego's headlights, your attention was in a totally different place, as in listening to the podcast. Or it's a mild dissociation in that a part of you, zombie you, is driving the car
And then the
while
rest of us is somewhere else.
ego you is somewhere else. That's dissociation. Mild, mild dissociation. But trauma then is profound dissociation, and that is, people say, I went to another place. Like, I was not there in my body. I left. I went somewhere else. And that's true. And
Tough.
that's dissociation. In the case of trauma, that it is sort of a natural protective mechanism.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about like freeze, fight, flight, freeze. And dissociation, I mean, as if freeze, like in natural selection, like out in the world, if you know you're gonna die and you're like, we are so lucky to have dissociation as like a thing that can happen, because if you're gonna get eaten by a bear, you don't wanna be
There.
present for that.
And the, yes, a natural protective thing. But the issue with then later in life is after the trauma is over,
You're stuck.
you keep dissociating.
It's a lot.
So there can be issues
That makes
with the ego.
Yeah,
And
that makes sense.
Brad, have you ever heard of borderline personality disorder?
I have, yeah, through you, which is the, I mean, it's narcissism and borderline, right? They're sort of, are they still doing that where women are borderline and men are narcissists, or is that different now?
It is mostly true.
Okay.
Mostly it's men who are narcissistic personality disorder, although there are some women, and mostly it's women who suffer from borderline personality disorder, although indeed there are men, some, but very few.
So let's, for the listeners, what's borderline
Oh.
and what's narcissist, so we can make sure that they're understanding what we're talking about.
Okay, real quickly.
Yes.
Narcissistic personality disorder is the collapse of the ego into a completely overcompensated sense of superiority,
Right, yes.
which comes across as I am the best, I am the greatest, I never make mistakes. That's called grandiose narcissism. There's another form, but it's more rare. Borderline personality disorder is typically a personality which comes apart under stress. And then
Okay.
the coming apart is experienced by other people as rage,
Okay.
like
It typically shows up as rage.
over the top, out of nowhere
Right.
rage. And that's because the personality split falls apart under stress. And again, what's difficult about that is that we all have stress. I mean, there's
Yeah,
kind
I
of
mean,
no avoiding stress. And if you fall apart under
yeah.
stress, it's not helpful. But again, it's not like, again, there's not an ego that's saying,
It's not,
I
yeah.
am
It's
deciding
not a
to
choice.
fall apart.
Right.
I
Well,
am
I'm thinking
deciding
about, there's all
to.
these videos of people, of women specifically, like going nuts at like Walmart or whatever, and just like screaming and yelling at people for seemingly no reason. And now I'm thinking that they're all just borderline because like what would make you flip out at someone at like checkout? You know, you're that stressed that you're gonna just scream at people about it. So
Yes, yes.
I'm wondering.
And then there's narcissistic rage also, which is when that sort of overcompensated superiority is
Gets
challenged,
challenged. Yep.
then there's narcissistic rage as I will destroy you.
Well, yeah. Witnessed that one firsthand, but
So these are all issues with an ego that's not functioning properly, let us say. And
So one of
psychotherapy.
my questions is how, what makes a strong ego then? So on like the converse, if we're talking about these are how people have broken their egos or broken, then what on the other, what is a strong ego and how do we help support our egos so that we don't have this kind of break?
Good. I have this in one of my books. There's a list of eight things, and I'm not going to remember all eight.
Okay, well, give us a handful here.
Number one is distress tolerance.
Okay.
So distress is, feeling distressed, which is
Yeah.
actually sort of an organic, it's a brain thing. When you feel
Right. Stress
distressed,
hormones.
it
Yeah, adrenaline and.
and so the distress tolerance is again a bit that ability to stand back and say, yeah, I know this sucks. And I just got to get through the rest of the day, or that's distress tolerance.
Interesting.
And that's it takes a strong ego to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Control of impulsiveness.
Okay, yeah, I could see.
So that, I mean, again, impulse, we all have impulses.
Yeah, all day, every day.
And if there's no gap between the impulse
It's
and acting on the impulse,
a big problem.
it's a big
Yeah.
problem. And it takes a strong ego to get in between and just Maybe I should think about this before I do it.
Just wait. Yeah. That's really important.
That's a strength.
That's the basis of a lot of my practices with my somatic healing work. It's literally just taking 5 minutes in between the impulse and the action to think about what the impulse is and why am I feeling this and where is it coming from? And yeah, I think that's very important.
How about delayed gratification
Oof, that's so hard these days.
instead of instant gratification?
Oh, yeah. Delayed gratification, though, as a photographer who worked with film for years and years and years, I absolutely love delayed gratification. But in our modern technology world, we're so used to now, 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 now. It takes like 5 seconds for a website to open, and you're like, what's the issue with this site?
Exactly. And there's a way in which you see how childish that is?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I hear it with my little one is just getting into the I want it now phase. He said that the other day. She was like, I want it now. And I was like, whoo-hoo-hoo, here we
So
go.
you see that there's a whole developmental process. Like, yeah, kids can't do it. They haven't they've not developed to the point where they can do it, but then and then you know impulsivity, famously for teenagers, is like,
Oh,
oh,
yeah. Really
okay,
tough.
there's more development yet to come, and that is the development of the strong ego.
That's a big part.
How about, I don't think this was one of the eight on the list, but abstraction. So it's not exactly abstraction. I mean, it is a form of what I mean is forethinking, thinking ahead, as it's called. Even to the ability to think, you don't think 10 steps ahead, I'll settle for 2 steps ahead, right? It's
Well,
like
and I'll think I'm
think
thinking
ahead.
about like in relationships too, when you have to think about like I want to do this thing, and you have to think about your partner and be like, do they want this? What do they need?
And
That is a
what
huge
might the reaction be?
be, right? Is this something they've told me in the past not to
Well,
do? Is this something in the past that they said that they liked? Yeah, you have to go
see,
through
yeah,
all
that's a
those
very,
steps.
very high level skill you're talking about. I was thinking it, the forethinking is as simple also as that. Okay, I have to go out to the store.
Yeah, I need shoes. I need
Like,
my keys.
what do Right. And then while I'm out, it would be more efficient if I also did
Went to the
XYZ
post office or
because
whatever it
I'm
was.
out. And then that way I would be making one trip instead of 4 trips. And see, that's thinking ahead
Yeah,
as opposed
definitely.
to not thinking ahead at all. I go to the store, I come home, and they're like, oh, right, shoes. I go out to get shoes, and then I come back. And like, right? It's like I'm not, you're not thinking ahead. And it's difficult.
It can be.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things to think of these days.
Okay. How about control of emotional reactivity?
Oh, that's tough too.
So, right, like what is reactivity? And again, it's like the lady yelling at people in Walmart, right? I mean, that's reactivity, except it's as simple as any conversation in which you go off on somebody. It just strikes you the wrong way, and you're having all these negative thoughts. And again, the impulse is that there's very little space between having the thought and it coming out of your mouth. And then you're sharing this emotional reaction.
Right, and it's just coming out of you with no filter whatsoever.
No filter. That's a good word.
Filter.
That's what it is. Now, but imagine the strength it takes to have a filter.
Yeah. Well, I think it's
I
also
really feel like
oof.
yelling at you right now,
Right.
but I'm holding it in so
Right.
that I don't do that. I
Right. Or
mean,
like that is the
whoa.
most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life, but you're not gonna
And I'm
say
gonna
it out
say,
loud.
and you are, you have a point.
Right.
See,
Yeah.
that's a strong ego.
Yeah. To not just fly off the handle. Wow. Yeah.
So
That would take practice too. I get that.
and development.
Yeah,
Like,
I
I
could see
mean,
how
like maybe
reactive people are in high school
you,
versus now,
well,
you know?
high school, I mean,
Well, yeah.
let's say maybe when you're 20, you can't do that high level. That's, I mean, what you're talking about is high level stuff. At 20, you can't do it. Can you do it at
Yeah.
30? Like,
Hopefully.
can you do it at 40?
I would really hope so.
See, and that's growth. I mean,
Yeah.
that represents growth, is that strengthening. Is that, as a matter of
Right.
fact, I am more mature at 40 than I was at 20. And again,
Right.
that's the ego part. I am more
Right,
mature.
right, right. I am.
Right? So there's an I there. Oh, well, what is this I? What are the qualities of this I? See that? So then, to move to the second part about the self,
Yeah, I was gonna say,
like I say,
let's see what the self is.
for 99% of all psychologists, when the self is me, which is technically the ego, as I think of, I am as I think of myself. That, and then the work on the ego or self, right? The collapse of the self, the rebuilding of the self, that all means what we would call ego. And I think for most people, it would be, what else is there? There is nothing else in there. There is I, and then that's where Jung came across in ancient mythologies and religion, plus certain experiences in dreams and actually real life experiences, that in the long run, every single person has at least once in their life an experience of the other
The other.
inside of yourself, another intelligence.
Okay. Yep. I mean, I'm just laughing because as a Gemini, I have like 20 people in here. So
Okay.
there's a lot of voices going on here, but
For some people, that's a very difficult concept.
yeah, I could
It's
understand.
like, well, there's you, but there's also this other you who is just as much you, and in fact, more you than the little ego. And sometimes you experience that. Sometimes you have a dream about this other, more intelligent, or back to the Kantian boundaries, so intelligent that it's incomprehensible. So one way to think about it is that Jung called that the experience of wholeness, that the ego is one part of our personality, one, uno,
Just one.
surrounded by a multitude of other parts. So, at some furthest point of development, a
You could get them
person
all together for a party.
integration,
Integration. Okay.
which means one, right? Integer, that to be one. And that 100% of your potential, let us say, which nobody ever does, but theoretically, that's what Jung called the self.
Oh, so it's much bigger.
If you developed and developed and developed and developed and developed all through the lifespan, if somehow you reached 100% of your capacity for development, that of your own potential, you fulfilled 100% of your potential, you would be now living the self instead of the ego.
That's
But,
a
and then,
lot.
so for instance,
Did he think it was possible to do that?
no.
No, okay.
No, but that it exists as a potential
It's very interesting, yeah.
and is kind of beckons or calls or is actually active in pushing and prodding the ego to not stop where it's at and go further.
Okay.
Keep developing, don't stop. Keep going. And also that there's so far, you have no idea how far there is to go. You think you're all that, and you are not.
He just started.
You are like at 10%. There is so much more. See? And so and then we feel that. We feel that beckoning. We feel that calling from something else.
Interesting. Yeah, that word integrate comes up a lot in the witch community about, we're integrating everything we've learned from this cycle or this season, and we're carrying it with us. And I think that that word integrate comes up a lot, which I find an interesting parallel.
Right. So what does it mean to integrate?
As we shift seasons, we talk about it a lot. So especially with like this big eclipse that just happened, and we were talking a lot about integrating everything that had happened this eclipse season and everything that we've learned. And, because it's a start of a new eclipse cycle. And so we're moving on into this new eclipse cycle. So we're trying to integrate so we can move and be the next version of ourselves. We see that a lot. So you can be the next version. You can step up, be another level of yourself. So you see that. I see that all the time. Does that track with Jung, or is
Oh,
that
well,
just.
yeah, that would be the ongoing process of the ego developing to integrate more and more and more of the full potential. So that, right, that's what it means to grow, is that you had this experience. Did you really learn?
What can we learn from this experience?
And
Having the
then
reflection bit,
And
yeah.
the reflect, and if you did learn, do you remember that you learned that? Right? How do you make it a part of yourself, this new learning? It's one thing to learn to learn it,
But
and
then
it's
to
a,
actually use it and put it into practice.
right. I mean that's a little bit like college or like that, right? I mean you learn, you read
So
the.
all these things.
You read the books, you take the
How did
tests.
that integrating German go, Dad?
Ganz gut. Ganz
Sehr
gut.
gut, ja.
Yeah. See, what of those things that you learn do you actually make part of yourself?
Exactly,
And what's the rest you've forgotten entirely?
Well, this part of I wish I had spent a little bit more time in college and not taken so many credits, just because there was so much that I was just focused on getting through that I did not integrate a lot of that.
Well, did you integrate calculus into your life?
No. No,
See?
thank you. The only reason
See?
I passed that class is because they did not want to see me again for another semester. Like, I, by all rights, should not have passed that class. Everybody wins. Everybody gets to go to the next level.
There you go. So that's a little, see, that's the difference between integration and non-integration, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's important. It's
And
very
then,
important.
so it's the ego, subjective center of integrating, but what is being integrated? All the other material, new beyond where the ego was,
Expanding.
expanding. So,
Do
for
like that.
instance, in mythology, Jung pointed there are some mythological images of a person, a human being, who achieved 100% of p potential,
Like Buddha or
like the Buddha.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And Christians would say Christ.
Jesus.
Well, when we use the honorific terms, then that would be the self. So if we say Siddhartha Gautama, that would be his ego. If
But
we
then
say
Buddha's
the
the
he became the Buddha,
self. Buddha.
and that That's the self. So
yes,
that makes sense. We can say Jesus, and that would be his ego.
Right.
The Christ means an image of the self. And the same thing for the prophet, and the same thing for Moses, in mythology, there are images of what the self, an image of the self, which is all that we can get, right? It's an archetype.
Yeah.
It's a representation of unknown and unknowable potential.
I like that phrase.
Another word for self, at least in Hindu mythology, comes across as the word soul.
Oh.
A second personality. So
soul.
In Hindu mythology, your self is the Atman. Atman.
Atman.
Yeah, Atman. Atman.
Okay.
By the way, that's where our word atmosphere comes from. That's
really?
Atman.
Like
because of its association with the breath.
Interesting.
A very deep, primordial human experience of the breath is this other personality. And the breath can leave.
Right, right.
And then the you has left.
Right.
And the Hindu concept of reincarnation, of course. I mean, the real you is that Atman.
And then it gets reincarnated.
It's called the transmigration of souls, right? That's the real you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it becomes immersed like a deep sea diver in three-dimensional time and space for some reason. As if it's an educational experience or something like
right.
this, something yeah. going on, which again in the Hindu mythology would be called karma.
Karma, yeah. I thought that's where you were going.
And that Atman, that's the real you. Not this.
Not our meat suit.
Right. Not the suit. Not the ego.
Right, right.
The ego is not you. The ego is a story that you have constructed to live in, like a
right.
car.
Like a car.
Because it is necessary.
For functioning.
Yeah. It's just that, do you have a level of awareness that allows you to remember, oh, right, it's a story. It's not real.
Ego stories, yeah.
Right?
I was talking about that at my eclipse party, about how we have the opportunity to change our ego stories because we were working with it in a way of releasing. And we did like a little releasing ceremony. And I asked them all to think about what stories they've committed to in their lives that may be no longer true or serving them. And that we're releasing those ego stories.
There's this other you. And again, for 99% of psychologists, there is no other.
That's kind of sad, though.
It is. Well, it's not scientifically validated.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. But I think it's sad to think that it stops at the ego. Like, that's kind
yes.
of sad and
yes.
narrow.
I think so, but...
But other people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. I heard of a concept the other day that... I'm forgetting the name of it. It's like the breath chain or something like that, where you think about like the breaths that have come before us to bring us to this point. So you think about all of the, like, I think if you go back like 8 generations, there's like 46,000 people that got you to the point that you're at. And all those people had to breathe. And, you know, like when we've all been breathing this same air and here we are. You know, and just like the billions and billions and billions of breaths that it took to make us. I just find it really interesting. It's a really interesting concept to think about.
So, at least in my books, sometimes I talk about the concept of the relativization of the ego.
Relativization.
Right. Is that when you begin to have awareness of these other things, the larger part, the ego is relativized. In the sense, so you could say thinking the ego is all there is a bit like being a flat earther.
Right. Like there's just this one flat thing and
And you
there's nothing
think
else.
that the sun and the moon and all the planets revolve around the earth.
Right. Because you
See,
can't imagine that there would be other things happening.
that's also called the hubris of the ego. Right? The ego is the little king or the little queen.
Right. Hubris for sure.
But it doesn't know it's the little king. And the relativization is to wake up one day and say,
And there's
oh
all
my
this other
God,
stuff.
this earth revolves around the sun instead of the sun revolving around the earth. Think,
Like, mind blown,
right.
yeah.
So-called Copernican revolution, right? So that helps if you think about it. The self is the sun. The self is the sun. The earth is the ego.
That
Right?
works with astrology too. I like that.
The earth is this big.
So
The
tiny.
sun is this big.
It's massive, yeah.
And that's the ego. That's the ego and the self in the Jungian sense.
Yeah, I like that. And I like also that it sort of reminds me of what we all have these moments. Hopefully, we all have these moments where we just realize that we're tiny flecks of conscious dust on a rock spinning 1,000 kilometers an hour. I felt that a lot during the eclipse. It's like, wow.
Oh, that's right. Speaking of
We are.
relativizing,
Yes.
which is sort of, putting us in our proper place.
Yeah, exactly. I think about that all the
So, I mean,
actually.
that comes into like, well, if the sun is the self and the ego is the earth, then who decides what happens in my life? See, and you
That's
have a
tough.
You have an unrelativized ego, which says, well, I decide what happens in my life.
Right.
Like,
Which is like, and then you're like, are we really in charge of anything? Because
right. Then you
the
get, I know
other
you,
side of that.
I know you believe that you're in charge, but can we just really stop and look at that? And did you decide to have a car wreck that changed your life?
Oh,
Did you
God, no.
decide?
That was
You know,
oof.
did you decide to, I mean, there's so many
Give
things.
birth to a baby during COVID? No, I didn't.
COVID, right? And the answer is, well, it's just random. The randomness,
Right.
it's
No one's
not,
deciding these things, right?
there's no intelligence there.
That's the question, isn't it?
And
That's the big question.
this is the question.
Right. Who's steering the ship?
Or
Who's driving the car?
no,
Oh no, because we're driving the car. Who's directing traffic?
who's coming up with the concept of self-propelled motivation in a highway system? That's way levels above, right? Who is planning the route
Who's making the roads?
with an intention of, I'm hoping to get you to go from here to there.
And
And
we're just all over the place.
designing this educational experience to help get you from here to there. And think of the intelligence required.
To do that, yeah.
And it's like, okay, you have 80 years. Go.
We're just making detours and checking out the world's
All right.
largest ball of
Well,
string and
let's say midlife crisis is a little bit about, okay, now I'm checking in with you at age 40. Like, where are we in this thing?
You're supposed to be over
You're
here
supposed
and
to
you're
be
over there.
maybe halfway. You're supposed to be halfway. What
Right?
what's going on? What is wrong? You're way behind. Catch up.
You've gone backwards somehow.
Right. Think about that. That's, again, that's the Jungian sense of the self.
Yeah, I like that though.
In a couple of my books, I've always had the image of my more mature self.
Okay. Yeah, we say like your higher self sometimes, which I know
Right.
you don't like the up and the down and stuff like
Right.
that, but that's what it gets
Because
called a lot.
it is, well, that's what integration would be, though. It is both higher. Yes, it is higher. And it is also deeper, lower,
Right. At the same time.
and more expansive all out on the side. So it's
On all sides, yeah.
this
Our bubble.
the self is this huge circle all around, like on every side.
Yeah, like a bubble.
So there you go.
I like all that, Dad. That was a lot. It's a lot to learn.
Well, you asked.
I did ask. But I think it's important. We've been talking about this word, the ego and the self, a lot. I think we're on episode 8 at this point, and I think it's really important for us to lay the ground for this because like I said, I see people misuse these terms all the time. And the only reason why I really know so much about it is because I grew up with you telling me these things. So,
Yeah,
exactly how to use it.
hopefully after what we've talked about, you know that, ego does not mean that person has a big ego.
Ego.
I mean, a bit,
That
which
gets.
is kind of like saying that person is narcissistic, essentially. A big ego, which is, well, that's not what the ego means, is being narcissistic or thinking very highly of yourself. That's not, well, that's not what it means, psychologically, at any rate.
That makes sense. Okay, Dad. Well, that certainly gave me a lot to think about. I think that we did a really good job at laying our ground level here for ego. And I thank you for yet again talking to me about this. And we will have more to talk about next week.
That's great. Keep learning. Keep developing.
That's the goal. That's the
It
goal.
is the goal. All right. Take care.
All right, bye, Dad. Well, thanks again for tuning into our conversation about the self and the ego. I hope that gave you a lot to think about. It certainly gave me a lot to think about. If you want more from me, Molly, you can head over to my website, queenofcupsapothecary.com. If you want more from Dad, head over to History of Ideas on YouTube. You can reach out to us at ajungianandawitch@gmail.com, or you can now go to our website, ajungianandawitch.com. We very much appreciate you tuning in. We would love if you could leave us a review. It will help us a lot to get seen. So thanks again. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you next Monday for another episode.